Hey everybody, we're so happy to be back with you. This is Hypnotica with Chantel and Melissa. And today we are talking about all the things that we've learned from past relationships. And yikes, did I have a long list that I had to narrow down? And a lot of the points could be whole episodes. So we're happy to bring way more episodes. But to start off, Melissa, what is the first thing on your list? What have you learned in your past relationship?
The people do not read minds. So, expecting our partners to be mind readers, to know what we want, to know what we expect, what we desire is unfair. And at the same time, it can also feel very triggering for us to ask for the things because that puts us in a vulnerable position. So for me, it was easier for me to secretly want my partner to like just know. He should just know. No, he's a completely different person. Like, how would he know? So it took recognizing that I was doing that, expecting people to read my mind, and then looking at what I truly wanted. And I did this through journaling, looking at how I wanted to communicate that. So I was telling myself in my journal first to practice, and then got like saying it in the journal first helped me develop the confidence to say it out loud to another person. And then learning how to hold myself if the person could not meet the need or could not show up, because also people are not obligated to meet our needs. And if they can't, then that just gives us information of what we would like to do about that or what would be best for us in that moment.
Yes, can totally relate. Yesterday, I came across a bunch of quotes about relationships that kind of blew my mind. So we'll definitely be talking about them in future episodes. But yeah, it was like a what to do when you're not compatible, like when you're clearly not compatible. It's like, yes, you love each other, but it's like relationships, like the whole time, it's all about what's okay for you and what's not, right? Like that's what Brene Brown's boundaries definition is, what's okay for me and what's not. It's just a constant navigation of that. As we grow, certain things are going to become not okay for us, or vice versa, and communicating that. Yeah, I remember when I first got married, like 20 plus years ago, I read a book, or someone gave me a book. It said, "Men read newspapers, not minds." And I was like, huh, well, alrighty then. Yeah, who knew? Yeah, so what a good lesson in communication. Yeah, I had this visual today when I was thinking about like communication and all that about, well, actually, I was thinking about last week's episode about the relationship checking questions. And I just had this visual of like someone blowing up a balloon, right? So when little things happen, it's not such a big deal. Like you're not necessarily going to say something in that moment if it's not the right time to say something. But over time, these little resentments get bigger and bigger, like this balloon getting bigger and bigger, and either it'll pop or you let go of it and it'll go flying around the room, right? Like you don't want in a heated situation when you're triggered for you to just like blurt out something hurtful that you didn't really mean to say. Anyway. Yeah.
I feel that. I feel that. Yep, because I've done it. I've totally fucking done it. So I'm just like,
Right.
yes. Yep. My next thing, this was, I actually learned about this before I learned about men not reading minds. It's my codependency. I started going to therapy on my own when I was 21 because I kept having the same exact experiences with all these different types of men. It's not like I was dating one type of man. It was all different types of men, and they would be really excited about me and then they would ghost me. So looking at that, I was like, I'm the common denominator. What's going on? Which sent me to therapy. And then my therapist told me about codependency. And I was like, what is that? I learned real quick what that was. So my people pleasing behaviors were happening. So I could stay safe with myself and stay safe internally. But with people pleasing, I'm not being authentic, not saying what I want and need, not showing up in a way that I truly need to show up. I was showing up in a way that was trying to get something from the men to make sure that they didn't abandon me, to behave in a certain way to make sure they didn't leave. But then they were leaving anyway. So looking at the codependency and being like, all right, how do I need to show up for myself first? Choose myself, not expect these men to choose me, but how am I choosing myself? How do I show up for myself? How am I taking care of myself? And letting that lead the way with relationships. It's still a practice. I'm much better at it now than I was 20 years ago, but it's still something that comes up. It's still something I have to pay attention to.
Yeah, it sure helps to understand codependency instead of just have it happen to you and wonder what's going on. Yeah, I remember reading the book, the Human Magnet Syndrome, about narcissistic people attracting codependent people. But really, what it boils down to, I found, is the responsibility for another person's happiness. That's the codependency part, and the not loving yourself. As like not filling your own cup, expecting them to fill it. And it goes back to the reading minds thing too. I also had it explained to me really interestingly about like imagine two circles. So you're each a circle. And when people come together in relationships, often like for a healthy relationship, those circles just touch, like they share life for a bit and then they go off and do their own thing and then they share and then go off. But with narcissistic codependent, they're just so all in with like, you're responsible for my happiness or I'm responsible for your happiness. They overlap, they almost like eclipse, right? Like, and yes, it's very like, tons of emotions. So if you really want to feel a lot, if that's the experience that you're going for, then go for it, right? Like, I mean, of course, don't get hurt physically. That happens a lot when you date or are married to a narcissistic person. But it's those chemicals and feelings that the person is so addicted to that they end up going back to the abusive situation and they don't understand what's happening. So I found that the two circles thing was just so helpful for me to understand, like to kind of recognize when my circle has overlapped his and kind of like have some time apart. Like I think for any relationship, it's like a fire, right? Like you need air for a fire. If you cut off like if you have your candle and you put something on top of it, it cuts off the air and the fire goes out. So it's like you need time apart and you need time alone together, you just need to create that time.
The narcissistic relationship. I've had one of those. And yeah, the highs and lows of the emotional roller coaster that that brings is for certain people like myself, it's highly addicting and it's hard to get out of. Like I tried to leave once and then got back into it and then eventually like completely left, but it was hard. It triggered some of the deepest worthiness wounds that I have, like being in that. So yeah, it's no joke. But I don't recommend it,
Bad
y'all. I
love
don't
bombing,
recommend it.
oh my
Totally.
goodness. Like your BS meter just goes off, yet you're like, but what if they mean it? It's like your intuition's like they don't mean it. And you're but they could mean it. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So good at making excuses for that. So good. Not a flex, y'all. Not a flex.
No. Oh gosh,
Yeah.
so many things can be said about narcissistic and codependency. Like we've got to do a whole episode on that. I
Absolutely.
just
Yes. Yeah. There's like the parental narcissism. There's relationship narcissism. Like, oh yeah. Yep. Got a lot to say
but
about
like
that.
just for people to be aware of like gaslighting and love bombing and hoovering, just all of those things so that they can recognize when it happens and then decide what they want to do from there versus having it be all subconscious and not understanding what's going on.
Yes.
We were talking just right before we started recording about our human design types, and that we both have the three in ours, which is the learn by trial and error. Henceforth, is why we're bringing this episode to you and why we've had several relationships. And yeah, definitely trial and error has been a thing. And
Yes, for
you're
better or
welcome,
for
people. So now we
worse.
can help you not do the same mistakes. Well, I don't like to look at life as mistakes. I just like to look at it as experiences. And what experience do you want to have? And if you learn from everything that happens, then is it a mistake? Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. The last thing, which is also the biggest thing that I want to share, is with my relationships there, I've been able to see a reflection of what's actually going on with me. So it's super fun and easy to blame the other person and be like, well, if they were this, then I would whatever. No, y'all. Okay. So all of my relationships have inadvertently asked me to self-reflect. So I was telling Chantel before we started that if we look at attachment style, I like to say that I'm anxious trending towards secure because I don't fully identify with the anxious attachment anymore. Because there's been enough work to happen where I'm like, I can generally be secure, but the anxious behavior is still there. And because of that, I will tend to attract people who are avoidantly attached. And looking at that a little closer, especially the past year, it's made me see the places where I have also been avoidant. So I can look like the open book, like I'm open about things, but to be truly vulnerable is still something I work through. So it's shined a big old light, especially in this past year, to look at where am I avoiding myself? Because if I'm still attracting that, there's still something in me that I'm avoiding if I'm still like attracting people that lead with their avoided attachment. So it's been a big old experiment trying to figure that out. But as difficult as it can feel sometimes, it's also been very, very helpful because now it's like, oh, I have a roadmap now. Now I see what I'm doing. And I can take the steps to undo all of that.
Yes. I think the biggest thing I learned from my 20-year marriage was about projection, you know, or even just when I was triggered, that I tended to just blame my, you know, whatever I was feeling on them versus looking at why am I triggered, you know, or like if I was in a bad mood, that doesn't make it his fault, right? Like it's like, yeah, and I see that so much in relationships, how, or even in friendships, right? Like just the projection of I'm feeling bad, so somehow that must be that other person's fault, or whoever is in my vicinity, or whoever's in the room, it's going to be somehow their fault that I'm feeling bad. No, if you're feeling bad, it's about you, not about them. Like, get a grip. Stop projecting. Stop it. I mean, that's just because we don't want, like, it's uncomfortable for us to look at our own stuff and be like, hey, you know, like the Taylor Swift song, I'm the problem, it's me, right? Newsflash. Yeah. So sometimes if we can tweak what we're doing, then it will fix the issue versus like blaming on everybody else isn't going to fix anything.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, the projection thing is huge. I also
Like
have had
everyone
to
does
learn.
it.
We all do it. Yep.
It's just like become aware.
Totally. Yeah. Because with your awareness, you then have a choice. Like, do you want to project? Maybe not.
Exactly. Oh gosh, so much to be said. Another thing I learned from my marriage is that expectations repel and appreciation attracts.
I love that. Yes.
Now, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't have any expectations in your relationship, but you definitely should balance them out with appreciation, you know, like we did in our last episode with the, you know, like, yeah, you've got to talk about the hard things sometimes, but you definitely want to make your partner feel appreciated. And it's not just like railing on them, like that's just going to push them further away, not make them come towards you.
Also asking them how would they like how well not how do they receive appreciation?
I like
Like,
love languages kind of
yeah,
thing too.
totally.
Yeah, I was watching Love is Blind this week, and it was just so clear with one of the couples that like hers was acts of service, and she was just so, you know, bewildered that he wasn't, you know, doing these things for her, and his was gift giving. So he, you know, or you know, like it was just like it seemed like lost in translation how they were trying to show each other love, and it just wasn't, you know, felt.
For sure. Yes. Yeah. Acts of service doesn't resonate with me either. I see it like when it's happening, it takes conscious effort for me to see it and appreciate it and say thank you. Yeah, because it doesn't register in my brain.
Yeah, no, totally. So many more things we could talk about, but they're for further episodes. And what would you like to talk about next time?
So I want to talk about the like how do we process the ending of relationships? A lot of folks like to just push that under a rug and just get on with the next person, but we need to look at and process the hurt and the grief and the anger that comes from the ending of something. So yeah, that'll be next week's topic.
Yeah, no ghosting. That's not fair.
No
Just stop
ghosting. Please don't
it.
ghost. Like,
Yeah, not cool.
right?
It
No.
doesn't feel so
Nobody wants to be ghosted. That's, yeah, we know what that feels like. That's not
good.
fun.
All righty, till next time.
Yay. Bye, y'all.